decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods. I am your squirrel, the host. It's good to be with you here on this Tuesday morning, the 28th of September. Just a couple more days of September. It's going to be October this week. Oh, man, time is flying by. Where did the summer go? That was one thing that driving up to Hot Springs on Sunday was the beautiful fall colors. It was a sunny, warm day. And it's the high 70s was the high on Sunday, and just crystal clear, and all the bushes were vibrant with colors, and it was just, oh, a gorgeous day. Today it's supposed to be cold and rainy. I guess it's going to top about 55 degrees and rain all day. So this is a good day to stay inside. I got to do some cleaning in here, and I got to do a bunch of reading for school, so we'll be getting that going here as soon as we're done this morning. I got two volleyball trips this week, which I'm looking forward to. I get to drive the junior high volleyball team on both Thursday and Saturday. That's going to be fun. I love volleyball. I would drive every volleyball trip if I could. But there are other drivers who also need time on the bus, so they won't let me do all of them. But they let me do some. I love them. Love those kids. Love the time. Love the game. It's just a good time. I get into the games free. That's another good thing about driving the bus. Yeah, I never have understood the guys that I see that are sitting in their buses. They can go into the game and watch the game. Yeah, if you don't like the kids, why are you driving a bus? So I always go in and watch the game. And of course, this winter, now that I've started school, I may be skipping some of the games to do work on the bus. So we'll see. That's why I can, maybe I could try to sit in the bleachers with my laptop and work. That'd work, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be distracted at all. No. I could concentrate on my work. I'm sure I could. Well, last week, it may have been Thursday, I'm not sure. I didn't look at the dates. Last week, William Lane Craig denied in an article at First Things and an interview with Sean McDowell. He denied the historicity of Adam. In fact, he denied the historicity of all of Genesis 1 to 11. He called it mytho-history. Basically, truth wrapped in myth. He said that Genesis 1 to 11 teaches moral truth, but not actual history. Now, this is not the first major error that Craig has propounded. I mentioned on Friday that I'm not surprised at Craig's denial of Genesis 1 to 11, but I am surprised that so many people were surprised. He's got a history of ideas that are, shall we say, off the reservation. First, he promotes Molinism. This was the first thing that I was really aware of from listening to James White and The Dividing Line, Craig's proponent of Molinism, which was a Roman Catholic counter-Reformation response to the doctrines of grace, to God's sovereignty, God's monergistic sovereignty in salvation. Molinism was a response to this, and it tries to preserve God's free will, or God, man's free will, man's autonomous free will, while still giving lip service to God's sovereignty. And I've heard Craig say things like, God actualized the best of all possible worlds, that he looked at all the possibilities, and this is the one that worked out the best, so he made this the real world. Totally denying his ability to make any kind of world that he wanted. He's also said things like, God had to play with the cards he was dealt, which always raises the question who dealt the cards. Now, in the Bible, God's the dealer. You know, not only is God the dealer, God prints the card deck. God makes the paper the card deck is printed on. God makes the trees the paper is made from. I mean, God's in charge of all of it every step of the way. So to say that he had to play the cards he was dealt just really denies the full sovereignty of God, and in a lot of ways denies the full deity of God. Craig also styles himself a neo-Apollinarian, which is Fred Butler pointed out in his article, which I will link in the show notes. Neo-Apollinarianism is really just classic Apollinarianism in a new set of clothes. Now, Apollinarianism is an ancient heresy that denies the full humanity of Christ. In his fantastic series on the ancient heresies, which I will also link in the show notes, Phil Johnson points out that the ancient heresies are either Christological or soteriological in nature, or a combination of both. They either, and these are all the same heresies that are being taught today. Look at, for example, you look at the ancient heresy of the Arians, and that's being taught today by the Jehovah's Witnesses. So we have, you know, they're either Christological or soteriological. They're either teaching a different Jesus, or they're teaching a different gospel, or as I said, both. Now, the Orthodox position on the deity and humanity of Christ is the hypostatic union, that God and man are united in Christ. He is fully God and fully man. He's truly God and truly man in one person, the person of Jesus Christ. This is set out in the Chalcedonian Creed. Let me just read it. It's not that long. We then, following the Holy Fathers, all with one consent, teach men to confess one and the same Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the same perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood, truly God and truly man, of a reasonable soul and body, consubstantial with us according to the manhood, in all things like unto us, without sin, begotten before all ages of the Father according to the Godhead, and in these latter days for us and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, according to the manhood, one and the same Son, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten, to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved and concurring in one person and one substance, not parted or divided into two persons, but one and the same Son, and only begotten, God the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the prophets from the beginning have declared concerning him, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself taught us, and the creed of the Holy Fathers has handed down to us. As I said, that's the Chalcedonian Creed from the Council of Chalcedon in 451 AD. So from ancient times, we have recognized that in Christ, God and man are united, both natures in one person. Apollinarianism teaches that Christ had no human soul, that in the incarnation, God in Christ took on a human body, but his divine nature was the only, he didn't have a fully human nature. He just had a human body. And Craig holds to that. Craig also denies that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. The Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In his article, the article at First Things, he constantly refers to the writer of Genesis 1 to 11 as the Pentateuchal author, not as Moses. Jesus said Moses wrote it. And Craig's view of Adam really plays havoc with Adam's sin, the fall, and redemptive history. To deny let Fred Butler say it. This is quoting from his article. Christ is called the last Adam, and his work on the cross imputes his righteousness to his people like Adam's fall imputes his sin and guilt to all of humanity. That's the core message of the gospel. However, the historical Jesus imputing his righteousness to guilty sinners does not work with a non-historical, mythical Adam who, according to Craig, couldn't possibly have lived in a utopian garden, disobeying God by eating from a magical tree after his wife was tricked by a talking snake. That is just ridiculous. And while that part about the talking snake and everything was not in quotes in Fred's article, it's almost verbatim what Craig said in the interview with Sean McDowell. But I digress. Back to the article. He wants us to believe that Adam lived a million years ago and did something that is undefined and left to the mysterious of prehistoric history that caused sin to have come to all of humanity and placed them under God's wrath. The ramifications of his position directly strikes at the heart of the Christian faith and the gospel message, and he is supposed to be the world-renowned apologist? Owen Strand also wrote a response to Craig's article, and I'll link that in the show notes as well. Strand was more gentle than Craig, or more gentle with Craig than Butler was. But he was just as critical. Here's Strand's conclusion. May we not go this way in our day. May we instead affirm the historical first Adam, and at the same time affirm the historical second Adam. The two hang together. Their federal representation cannot be severed, or the biblical meta-narrative crashes into the dust. Each man truly lived, albeit with altogether different consequences. Through the first Adam came death. Through the second Adam has come our salvation, and with it our commitment to believe all the scriptures, and receive them not as the word of men, but as the word of God. As I said, all of these articles I will link in the show notes. Craig's article, Fred Butler's article, and Owen Strand's article. So I encourage you to look into this, but this denial of the historicity of Adam is just one more in a long list of errors, or as Fred Butler correctly points out, heresies that William Lane Craig has taught. His own teaching places him outside of Orthodox Christianity. I don't believe he's a man to be listened to. Not in terms of, you know, maybe if he gives you directions to McDonald's, he's probably okay. But don't go to Craig for your theology. As James White has pointed out more than once, Craig's philosophy drives his theology, not the other way around. And that's the heart of his error. Error there being plural. So here, just be forewarned. Be alert. The world needs more alerts. Okay, we are reading through the New Testament in the Legacy Standard Bible. We are in the Gospel of Mark. We are going to be in chapters, I believe, 13 and 14 today. Getting close to the end of Mark. We'll finish it up tomorrow. But let's begin. Before I begin, point out one more thing. Grace Bible Theological Seminary and Grace Bible Church of Conway, Arkansas, hosted a mini conference Sunday night and Monday night. Just wrapped up last night. Four messages, one by Dr. Johnson, one by Dr. Strand, and two by Dr. White. I don't know that the messages have been posted yet, but look for them. It was excellent. It was they were talking about the five solas, and all four messages are worth your time. So find them, download them, listen to them. There's my plug. All right, let's begin with our prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, from the LSB. And as he was going out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, behold what wonderful stories and what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." Excuse me. And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down." And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew were questioning him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See to it that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will mislead many. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. These things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. But see to yourself, see to yourselves, for they will deliver you to the courts, and you will be beaten in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake, as a witness to them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all the nations. And when they lead you away, delivering you up, do not worry beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. And brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. But when you see the abomination of desolation standing where it should not be, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and the one who is on the housetop must not go down or go in to get anything out of his house. And the one who is in his field must not turn back to get his garment. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that it might not happen in the winter, for those days will be a time of tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of creation, which God created until now, and never will. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect whom he chose, he shortened the days. And then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'Behold, he is there,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect. But as for you, see, I have told you everything in advance. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels, and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. See to it. Keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come. It is like a man away on a journey who, leaving his house and giving authority to his slaves, each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Chapter 14. Now the Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how, after seizing him in secret, they might kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, lest there be a riot of the people. And while he was in Bethany, at the home of Simon the leper, reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster jar of perfume of very costly pure nard. And she broke the jar and poured it over his head. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She did a good work for me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She anointed my body beforehand for the burial. And truly I say to you, whenever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman did will also be spoken of in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went away to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard this, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he began seeking how to betray him at an appointed, opportune time. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he himself will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Prepare for us there. And the disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, truly I say to you, that one of you will betray me, the one who is eating with me. They began to be grieved and to say to him one by one, surely not I. And he said to them, it is one of the 12, the one who dips with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is to go just as is written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. And while they were eating, he took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, take it, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, because it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away, yet I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, that day, that today, this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times." But Peter kept saying insistently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all were saying the same thing also. Then they came to the place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of the sinners. Get up, let us go. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, came up, and with him was a crowd with swords and clubs, who were from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now he who was betraying him had given them a signal, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And after coming, Judas, having immediately gone to him, said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But this has taken place in order that the scriptures would be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and they seized him. But he pulled free of the linen sheet and escaped naked. Then they led Jesus away to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered together. And Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the officers and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were seeking to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and they were not finding any. For many were giving false testimony against him, but their testimony was not consistent. And some, standing up, were giving false testimony against him, saying, "We ourselves heard him say, 'I will destroy this sanctuary made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" And not even in this way was their testimony consistent. And the high priest stood up in their midst and questioned Jesus, saying, "You answer nothing. What are these men testifying against you?" But he kept silent and did not answer. Again the high priest was questioning him and said to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And tearing his tunic, the high priest said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. And some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him with their fists and to say to him, prophesy. And the officers received him with slaps in the face. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also are with the Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are talking about. And he went out into the entryway. And when the servant girl saw him, she began once more to say to the bystanders, this is one of them. But again he was denying it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Jesus, surely you are one of them, for you are also a Galilean. But he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man you are talking about. And immediately a rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said the statement to him, before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And throwing himself down, he began to cry. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I wish you the best of Tuesdays. Don't do what you ought not to do. Do what you ought to do. And whatever you do, do to the glory of God. And we'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. God bless. Take care.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.